the rest of the story. Hotel guests, returning to their rooms late in the evening, often hurried to their telephones to inform the main desk that there's a woman sleeping in the hallway. And indeed there was, sleeping right there on the hallway floor, curled up outside one of the guest room doors. Hotel staff were consistently sympathetic, for they had seen the woman too, every night, often for weeks at a time, and they, unlike most visitors, they knew the rest of the story. That one thing put that woman on the hallway floor and kept her there, her love for the man behind that door. He lived at the hotel. He was an intractable alcoholic. The fellow would lock himself in his room with a case of whiskey, remove all of his clothing, and drink himself into oblivion, routinely. Nobody was allowed in that room, not even the woman who loved him. But she maintained that lonely vigil even so, listening for any sound that meant danger, or perhaps a cry for help. For there had been another time in this woman's life when such vigilance would have made the crucial difference. Her own brother, 20 years previous, had been steeped in emotional turmoil. She'd even discovered him once at home, alive but hanging from a noose that he had fashioned. She took it as a prank. Until the following year, when he succeeded in strangling himself to death with a knotted bedsheet. She'd been sleeping in that same house at that time, that very night, in fact, but not close enough to the door to hear, as her brother made the grim preparations for his own demise. Well, she would not make that same mistake again. And so when the man she loved started drinking and kept on drinking, she was determined to remain nearby, huddled if necessary against his hotel room door, listening for the telltale whispers of self-destruction. It was as though such indications had haunted the people she loved best. Her grandfather and great uncle had died by self-inflicted gunshot wounds, another uncle by carbon monoxide poisoning, still another by jumping from a window and impaling himself on the spiked iron fence below. It ran in the family, she used to say. But the suicides, she vowed, would stop there. She may not be able to control her lover's drinking, but he would not be permitted to kill himself otherwise. Occasionally, the lady in the hall would panic if it seemed too quiet behind the hotel room door. At those times, she would summon a housekeeper to let her in. Often after making her way past the locked door and the makeshift barricade, she found the man she loved unconscious, lying in his own excrement. Yet without a complaint, she would clean him up, soothe him should he be aroused, and then return to her vigil outside the door. Each of us carries at least one picture in his mind for each person he knows or knows about. I cannot imagine the precise picture reserved in your mind for the woman we've just discussed, but now, whenever you hear her name, whenever you see her face, you will envision the lady in the hall, sleeping on a drafty floor in the Beverly Hills Hotel half a hundred years ago. A portrait full of pathos and anguish, unfashionable devotion, unconditional love. For the desperate man behind that door was Spencer Tracy. And the desperate lady outside was Katharine Hepburn. Now you know the rest of the story.